Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Piotr Raciborski, and I represent WOOD & Company. Today, I have a pleasure to welcome you to the conference call, followed by a Q&A session to discuss current half-year 2021 results. Our today's speakers are Andriy Verevskiy, Chairman of the Board, Anastasia Ustakhova, Chief Financial Officer, and Yuri Kovalchuk, Corporate Investment Director. Now, I'd like to leave the floor to our speakers. Please begin the presentation.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Kernel first half financial year 2021 earnings call. My pleasure to present to you the Kernel financial results, first for the 3 months ended in December 31st, 2020, which is the second quarter for our financial year 2021. The company revenue for reporting period exceeded 1.3 billion, EBITDA reached 269, and net profit 128 million. Strong earnings resulted in deleveraging of the company as well. The net debt to EBITDA standing in 1.6 as of December 31st. And as well, our liquidity position remains solid with more than $250 million in cash and almost $900 million of ready marketable inventories. Now I would like to take you shortly through the segment performance in second quarter 2021. First, I start with, as usual, oilseeds processing. Segment generated EBITDA of $24 million, represented margin of $56 per ton of oil, which is down 39% year-to-year. Ukraine production of the sunflower seeds in current season was 2.4 million tons lower compared to the previous level, which is a 15% decline year-to-year. And as a result, it's a gap between industrial crushing capacity installed and the harvest of the sun seeds in Ukraine in the current season almost doubled, so reaching 5.2 million tons of deficit. It's intensified competition for the sun seeds, contracting severely the crushing margins. And at the same time, we see that farmers remain slow sellers in Ukraine, expecting future raising of the sunflower seeds prices. This season will be probably the one of the worst in our history for the crushing segment. We expect to process 3.3 million tons of the sun seeds, down to what we already guided previously of 3.5 million. Full-year crushing margins we expect on a level of between $45 and $55 EBITDA per ton of oil. And on top of that, our renewable energy business line is expected to generate around $10 million EBITDA in financial year 2021. Infrastructure and trading segment delivered just another quarter of outstanding performance, contributing $161 million of EBITDA to the group results. Very obviously was a booster of the total segment's earning, taking a right position in the period of growing of soft commodity prices. At the same time, we can see that the contribution of our Ukrainian trading and grain export infrastructure business reduced year to year due to the margin construction given the low grain harvest in Ukraine in the current season. Outlook for the segment remains positive. For first half, we generated $272 million EBITDA and expecting to add another $100 million in the second half of the year. The guidance includes reduction of our expectation for the grain export volumes from Ukraine to of 8.5 million tons full year 2021, down from 9.5 million tons initially announced. And obviously we take an assumption that Avera trading results would not decrease much from the current level. And farming segment reported $107 million in EBITDA level in second quarter, or $99 million excluding IFRS 16 impact. We have contracted all grain of our own production for the harvest 2020, so the result is pretty much locked up. And the full year, we expect a full year financial year 2021, we expect to report $230 million EBITDA net of IFRS 16 impact and revaluation of biological assets, and this is up from our $200 million previous guidance. CapEx. CapEx program under the strategy 2021 is approaching to completion. New oil seeds processing plant in Western Ukraine is expecting to be commissioned by the end of 2021. The three cogeneration plants with our renewable energy investment projects has been already constructed and completed, and three remaining facility has to be commissioned will be commissioned in the next financial year 2022. So this is a short presentation, and we're ready for your questions. Please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. That's star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you've joined us online, you can press the flag icon on your web browser to ask a question. I can see our first question is from Michael from PTE Alliance Poland. Michael, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Michał Majewski from Allianz Poland. I just want to clarify two things what Andrzej just said. First of all, you said that you expect additional $100 million of EBITDA, but is it for the infrastructure and trading segment or the whole group in the second half of the financial year? And the second question is, you said that this new facility in Western Ukraine, the oil facility, will be commissioned till the end of the year 21. Is it the financial year or the calendar year? Thank you very much.
Thank you for the question. The 100 million additional EBITDA contribution in the second half, we're expecting in the infrastructure and trading segment. So the total, we believe we should generate around 370 million for the segment. The crushing plant for the Western Ukraine, we plan it will be commissioned in the financial year 2022.
Okay, so by the end of June. Thank you.
Not by the end of June. It's going to be in within the financial year 2022. We're expecting October, November.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much for your question. Our next question comes from Catherine Stonark from Columbia Threadneedle. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you very much for the call. Just wondering, could you clarify a little bit more on in terms of your CapEx? I know it was the majority of your CapEx is coming to an end sort of this year and carrying on, but in terms of how much are you planning to spend for on CapEx, please?
So for the financial year 2021, that I'm talking about total numbers, we're expecting to spend total $179 million plus $88 million of the maintenance capex. So the total amount, including maintenance capex, should be $267 million in financial year 2021. And this is pretty much the completion of all our projects for the last 4 years.
Okay, so then as an average capex going forward, you'd expect this to drop off to what sort of level?
Pretty much at the moment, we don't have any plans for the CapEx for 2022, just a minor one to finalize the maybe crushing plants, et cetera. So I'm talking about $10 million. And our a normal maintenance CapEx of the $60 million for the 2021.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Christian Farlos from Admet Capital. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, I guess that's me. Thank you for the call. Just a couple of questions on my side. I think you mentioned in the report that your trading and transshipment margin has gone down this year versus last year. Could you sort of give us a ballpark estimate of that figure, right, where it is roughly, if you could? Is around, you know, $10, $15, and where was it last year? So the whole sort of chain. That's one question. Yeah, maybe I'll just start from one.
So the truth is that the infrastructure and grain trading segment in Ukraine is also under pressure because we have less crop size in Ukraine. And, for example, on the trading margins, pure trading margin on the grain, we almost have the zero margins compared to the $4, $5 last year. And also the terminal and railway wagons as well under the pressure. So we have less earnings on a railway wagons business because the supply is really low this year. And for example, right now we already almost parked like a 30% of our railway cars. And obviously, every terminal in Ukraine is also fighting for utilization and throughput and putting fees, transshipment fees down. So the margins also came off as well. So I would say, generally speaking, for the whole line of the grain and infrastructure segment, starting from grain trading, railway cars, terminal fees, we have a contraction of the margins compared to the last year.
Okay, could you give us maybe a figure, or I mean, if you're willing to disclose it, where it is right now? Is it, you know, $10, $15?
We don't disclose the margins by particular lines. So we because we look at that pretty much on a whole chain altogether. So, but I can tell you that we see this margins under pressure this season, just because of mainly because of volume of supply in Ukraine.
Okay, thank you. And then also, could you say on the farming segment where you expect the IFRS 16 impact for the year as a whole? I believe it's around $49 million at the moment. Is this going to go up from this level, do you think?
Anastasia, correct me, it's a bit higher than 46. Anastasia, could you please give an exact number of 16 effect?
It's a little bit higher, close to 70, but we have a special disclosure on this. Just a second. Yeah, this is 49 million for the first half, and should be close to 70, 75 for the whole year.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And then final question on unallocated expenses. So it's up to 23 million at the moment. Is this sort of a one-time thing that we should be expecting here, or is this something that will be recurring?
So the allocating expenses, we expect around 65 million, but that's the salaries and all administrative expenses, plus including some bonuses because of the strong earnings this year. So the unallocated expenses will be slightly higher this year compared to last year, just because of we paid some bonuses to the management for the performance.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Milos from IRSM. Milos, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
First of all, I congratulate for the very strong performance. I do have several questions, so I think I will go one by one so there is no any confusion. So the first question is, when should we expect some information about the potential results of the bid for the purchase of the Cascad Agro?
So for the Cascad, it's pretty, short. I mean, at the moment, we are in the process of the completing the deal. We got the approval from the antitrust, et cetera. But at the moment, as of now, we haven't done a completion. The deal is not done yet. So once the deal is finished and completed and signed, we definitely make the whole announcement, etc. But at the moment, deal is not completed.
Okay, thank you. The other question is, does the kernel plan to contract some more crops for the new season before the harvesting, or what's contracted now, it's basically all the plan? Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's a good question. So we are actively selling next harvest, so 2021 harvest, so the next season already. So we sold at the moment almost 1.4 million tons of the grain for the next season, and some sun seed, some oil, sun oil as well. So we believe that the level of the prices are good. And the margins are strong because we pretty much already know our cost. So we would like to carry on to sell more to try to lock up the margin for the farming for the next year.
Okay, thank you. So the other question, this season we are dealing with a low amount of the sunflower seeds on the market. So does the company has a capacity or maybe some plans to crush some other seeds like rape seeds during the summer in order to increase the utilization of the plants?
Yes, we are currently working to try to crush some rape seeds at the beginning of the season, so in the summer, but unfortunately we don't expect a huge volume coming from this, but maybe some volumes will be crushed. If the margins will make sense, though, of course we will do it.
Okay,
because normally we can buy rape seeds from farmers and sell it as a raw materials and make the same margins without any crushing. So we will see. We will make the arbitrage between farming and trading.
Okay, thank you. So another question, does the company expect significant increase of the farming costs in 2021? I know that there is some increase in the fertilizer prices, fuel, maybe salaries as well.
2021, we don't see big spike. The budget already approved for next season. We already bought the all fertilizers, etc. So there might be slight of increase of the land lease, but also not really material. So we believe that the budget will be more or less comparable to the 2020. So and that's why we're also actively selling 2021, just to make sure we locked up the margin for the farming for the next season.
Okay, and thank you. And for the last question, how much time it takes between commissioning the power plant that you are in process of and achieving its 100% production capacity? I know that in case of competition, it can take three, four months. How does it work with kernel?
It's not about competition, but three already done. So it start to work almost on a full capacity. And the next three will be in the financial year 2022.
Okay.
During financial year 2022, we will finalize the rest. The last one will come from the new crushing plant on the western Ukraine. So that will be the last one. Probably will be in the second half of this financial year, 2022.
And the power plants, they will be having full utilization even when there will not be enough sunflower due to the stockpiling before?
Yeah, we hope that the next season we're not going to have this issue. I mean, there's a few reasons for this. First of all, we believe that the very high, for example, right now the sun oil price is on a peak of level, not historically, but maybe even historically high. And obviously the margins what the farmers make on sun seeds is enormous. So, and what we see, the farmers are planning to plant as much as they can acreages of the sun seeds, the same like a corn as well. So we believe if weather will allow us and will not bring the bad surprises, we should have a good crop next season. There's a good fundamentals for this.
Okay, thank you a lot. That was many questions, so I'll give
no
some
problem.
Time as well to others.
Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Michael again from PTE Alliance Poland. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have the question which comes back in the period of low crushing margins. Should we expect further market consolidation from Kernel? I mean, from the perspective of market watchdog, do you think it is possible to deals like Allseas or BSI in the past, or rather small deals, smaller deals, or you rather let the weakest player to go bankrupt?
Yeah. Thank you for your question.
What is your strategy towards this?
Yeah, the strategy is the following. Obviously, we are not interested in any small players to acquire. We're not interested in the facility which is old, fashioned and or located in the wrong regions. We obviously interested in a few targets with the new crushing plants, competitors with the good locations. This is very tough season for everyone, and 100% the crushers will suffer this year. But let's see the next year. If next year will be the bumper crop and the margins come back, we might not have sellers again. But if definitely next season will be weak again, we definitely will have some sellers on the market. So it all depends on how big margins and how the other crushers generate the profit, operating profit. If they will be profitable, we might not see them willing to sell, but if vice versa, of course. So it's very difficult it's purely opportunistic for us, because we can't predict pretty much what's happened in the future, but we're definitely ready to move for the good valuation if they will put the assets on the market. They are actually on the market constantly, but the question is the valuation is high.
Mm-hmm. So the big deal is relatively quite still possible.
Of course.
It's not big enough to be blocked.
We would like to. We would like to add 1 or 2 million to our portfolio for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Michael. Our next question comes from Philip from All Sports. Philip, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thanks. First of all, congrats on a great result on beating your 2021 target in 2 quarters already. My question concerns, two questions, they concern actually the Vera activities. The first one is, you mentioned 100 million for infrastructure and trading. Does this account your target? Does this account into additional contribution margin from Avera, or you in this assumption any additional EBITDA from Avera will be like an upside?
The 100 million contribution, what we expect in the first half of the year, it's both Avera and infrastructure and grain trading together.
Got it. And concerning Avera trading activities in Q3, given that we are already almost two-thirds in, is it possible to share like any outlook on how it's going? Of course, the final result is impossible to predict.
No, I mean, we don't disclose the Avera on a separate basis, but what I can tell you that right now Avera is a little bit slowed down, and we decreased the positions and the risks and as well. So the market is pretty high already, and the guys are going easy right now and slower. So I hope that we will not have the bad surprises going forward towards the June. And at the same time, we have a drawdown in place. So if market crashed and stuff, we still should be limited with the losses. I think we have a good perspective. Of course, there's still a chance of 10, 20, 25 million going up and down. But I think we're in a good place to finish in the June with more or less our expectation.
Excellent. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Philip. Our next question comes from Jennifer Passmore at HSBC. Jennifer, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Could you give any guidance or expectations around the oilseed crushing margin over a longer period of time? Perhaps you mentioned that the next season you hope it won't be quite so tough. Perhaps over a medium, longer term, would you venture some guidance there?
Yeah, thank you for your question. I mean, if I would know the margins, probably I would sleep better. But you can see on a historical level, it was quite volatile and up and down, and everything pretty much depends on the size of the crop. What I can tell you is in our long-term model and assumptions, and when we use the assumptions for future acquisitions, etc., we use $65 per ton of oil as a conservative approach for the margins. But as you can see, last year we had a higher. This year we probably finished the whole year 45-55, so lower than our average margins forecast on the longer term. So quite complicated to be precise with the margins. But anyway, we have to use some assumptions, and what we use is 65.
No, thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Our next question comes from Jacob from MBank. Jacob, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Congratulations on the great results for the first half of the year. I've got one question regarding the hedging. You hedged like 1.4 million tons of crops that you will harvest in the next season or like from the 2021 harvest. I'm just wondering if you could elaborate a bit about what sort of crops did you have? Is it a wheat, a corn, or all together in the proportion that you are going to sell? Would you like to hedge all the crops till the end of the next quarter? What's your strategy?
Thank you for your question. So 1.4 million tons, it's a total grain. Some part, small part is the wheat, but the most of the volume is the corn. And yes, that's absolutely right. That's the next harvest, 2021 harvest. We carry on to sell more, and if markets still continue, I mean, despite today, but market keep going up, and we slowly, gradually up, we're selling more and more volume. So I think if the prices will hold on this level, we would like to maybe go up to 75% of the total production to sell.
Okay, thank you a lot.
Thank you very much, Jacob. Our next question comes from Dimitri from Jefferies. Dimitri, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you for your presentation. I just have one general question and one more specific one. One like general question is considering overall decrease in harvest and expected decrease in export volumes for Ukraine. I'm just curious, how did you manage just to show a good results in terms of the volumes for the Q1 and Q2 2021 against this kind of little bit negative backdrop in volumes? So if it's possible, just elaborate on like kind of precise factors that contributed to your success in increasing volumes of exports. And the second question also regarding your exports training operations. Did you see any changes to your export mix in terms of the like composition of corn, etc.? And did you see any changes to contracts with your clients? You have introduced some, or clients ask for some specific features in contracts. If it's possible, would be great just to understand any changes with your clients and contracts for this period. Thank you very much.
So, first question. I think anyway, the plans was much higher this season. We planned 9.5 million tons of export, and at the moment we're working with the 8.5, so 1 million down. It's a still higher volume than the last year. Last year we did 7.8 or 7.9 million. So still higher than the last year, but anyway, at the same time, a more poor result, and we're not really meeting our target in terms of volume. Why we're still going better than last year? Obviously, we commissioned our terminal. We have right now one of the best terminals in Ukraine. So with the huge intake of railway and also the trucks as well, and also the loading rate, we have the best in Ukraine, the network of the silos and procurement, and I believe that one of the strongest team we have. So potential of our team and our assets, we can handle way more grain, and we hope the next season we're going to target it above 10 million, maybe 11, maybe 12. So let's see if the crop to decide. So what I'm saying, what I'm trying to say is the fundamentals and assets and the team are way, way stronger than the volume we are handling this year. So we have a good potential to do it even more. In terms of export composition, I would say it would still remain more or less the same, with the maybe some percentages vary, but the corn will remain the one of the major crop from the grain. And in terms of clients, we can see right now that it's the China is growing. China is buying a lot of our meals and a lot of our corn as well. So it's become one of the most important clients for us. But still, the other destinations remain the strongest as well, and stable our clients, which we've been doing business for many years.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dmitry. Our next question comes from Nikolay from Insight Investment. Nikolay, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Please go ahead.
Hello. Many thanks for the call and presentation. Just one question left on my side. With a much lower CapEx and what seems to be hopefully higher volumes next year in financial year 2022, what is the plan around the cash flows if you don't get acquisition targets? Do you focus on further deleveraging or increasing dividends? And what's the longer term thoughts around that? Anything?
So the longer term we have an echo one. So in terms of the longer plan for the cash flow, first of all, we still have the ambitious and appetite to do some M&A deals in terms of crushing. Also, we're looking for increase the infrastructure projects as well. As usual, it's all about valuation. As well, we are looking actively for the land increase. Right now, it's probably not the right moment because the farmers are all across the board makes lots of money and they're not really selling anything. But the land reform is coming as well. So we would like to see what kind of earnings we will have in 2022. Of course, if we have extra cash, we will definitely some deleveraging and look around in terms of the opportunity we will have in the 2022-2023. And as already discussed several times at the end of the financial year 21 in our annual report, management will present capital allocation strategy in terms of the dividends, etc.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Martin from UMPA Securities. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. I just want to ask about this over 10 million tons target for grain sales for the next year. Will you consider also adding terminal capacity to manage to cope with such high volume?
Thank you. So our terminal can easily handle up to 12 million tons of volume. So we still have the spare capacity. But as well, we're also looking, we can easily take the, sign the contract for the throughput and in other ports for the 1 or 1.5 million. It's not a problem as well. Generally speaking, it's kind of overcapacity right now, and I think they all fighting for the clients and for the goods, so that should be not a problem. But generally speaking, our terminal can do 12 million.
Okay, and the second thing, can you maybe comment more about the detailed result of our contribution in the second quarter? Is estimate of around $120 million a correct one, or...
I think you can calculate through the minority interest if you want to, but generally speaking, yeah, but generally we don't disclose the Avera as a separate, on a separate basis.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Cassina from Loomis Slays. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity to ask a question. I wanted to ask you about your leverage targets, and my second question is, how much EBITDA upside do you see once the facilities are commissioned in 2022? So in terms of the EBITDA upside per annum going forward. Thank you.
So the leverage, usual our strategy and our policy is to have not more than 2 times net debt to EBITDA. So this year, right now we're currently 1.6, so we still have space if we want to. So sometimes we exceed it too, but we're trying as a management policy, we try not to. So answer your question, 2 times net debt to EBITDA. This is what we would like to see in the deal world. In terms of the EBITDA contribution for the future, I mean, it's quite long question. Obviously, once we commissioned the new crushing plant, you can add 1 million ton of crushing capacity with the average margin, let's say $60-$65. So we definitely should add some volume on infrastructure and trading segment. So if next year allowed us, we should do 10-11 million tons of export with the more or less normalized margins on a terminal, railway wagons, etc. So, and Avera will obviously stay very volatile and opportunistic, depends how the traders will do the job. And the farming next year, I would say it should be, if everything goes well and we sell at this level more or less 70-75%, we have a good chance to repeat the results of this year. So that's the nutshell, what I can tell you.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Our final question comes from Milos from IRSM again. Milos, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
I think that you shared a little bit with your last sentences the response to my question. This is a follow-up question because given that you said that you approved the budget for the farming, and that you
yep.
sold a significant portion of the crops. If we assume that the yields will be nothing special, so average, not good, not bad, the predicted EBITDA per hectare of the land, what do you think could be?
Well, I can tell you again, that's what I just said. If prices not drop significantly, then we manage to sell, because we can't sell 100% anyway, because we have to take the buffer of 20-25% for the some yields movements. So, but we will be still open anyway for 20-25%. But let's see what the prices will do. But if we manage to sell 70-75% and prices will not drop dramatically in the next season, cost already pretty much fixed, so we have a good chance to repeat these numbers, this season numbers.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a further question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. That's star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. And we have no further questions, so I will hand it back to management for closing remarks.
Thank you very much for your questions. Yeah, it was a long call. For 45 minutes. Thank you very much. Anyway, if you have any additional questions, you can always contact us and we try to provide you information. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.